Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Kevin Durant's points, rebounds, and three-pointers? Now you can pick them all in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. You can also follow other Prize Picks players directly on the app with the new feed tab. Follow a friend, a celebrity, or maybe your favorite local radio personality, and check out every lineup they create with just one click. Prize Picks also offers injury reboots. If one of your players leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks won't count it as a loss. Download the Prize Picks app and use code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Must be present in certain states. Visit PrizePicks.com for restrictions and details.
When it comes to accidental injury cases in Harris County, there's one law firm that files nearly three times as many cases than any other firm, and that's Daspit Law Firm.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glad you could join us this morning. We got a lot to do. Man, oh man, oh man. Maybe Bo Nix overestimated the Texans' defense a little. When asked this week, how's the offense going to be better? He said, well, we're not going to play the number one defense in the league, okay? Well, oh, really? Because you played the Raiders last night, and boy, did you suck. That is being thought of as maybe the worst Thursday night game ever. It was...
Well, I mean, it's up there. There's been some terrible ones.
There's been some awful
games. That's saying a lot when you say it's the worst Thursday night game ever. But it's in the conversation. They scored. You know, one of the reasons they scored is because they blocked the punt. They didn't score directly off the block punt, but it's one of the reasons their offense was completely limp. They couldn't do anything. Raiders got an early score from Ashton Gentry. Then they didn't do anything the rest of the game. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad football.
I don't know how good the Broncos are now.
I don't either. I don't either, but they got 7 wins in a row, and they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, they're going.
And you know, the Texans, for any hope at all, you got to have either the Broncos, Chargers, or Chiefs lose. And then you have to beat all those teams. Well, you already didn't beat the Broncos, even though you should have.
The Broncos are doing it like the Texans should be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, they're squeaking. The Texans lose all the one-score games. The Broncos win all the one-score games. Okay? If their offense sucks, the defense finds some way to get them a win. And the Texans, like Dell pointed out yesterday, blaming the victim. They gave up a couple of late drives, and when they needed to give up just 7 points, like last night, because that's all the Broncos could score was 10, and they did it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They deserve to win. I don't know if they deserve to win, but they win, and they do just enough to win. And the Texans, they're just not doing that. Nick Caley and Matt Burke met the media yesterday afternoon, and you know, I don't know that we learned anything. What's gonna change? Did we find out? Is anything gonna change on short yardage situations? Are they gonna do? I know it's execution, but this thing that and he said it yesterday. We're a physically run oriented offense. No, you're not.
Then you're not. It's the wrong. You got it on the wrong setting. You need to go put it on amateur. You got it on all pro. Whenever you run against short on your Madden settings, you need to go put it on college or rookie or whatever the settings are now.
You know what you need to do is have it in the guy in your best player's hands. Who's your best player?
I don't know.
CJ
Will Anderson.
CJ is your best player.
What about bringing Will Anderson in?
Well,
that's what Ben Johnson would probably do.
Probably. Well, Nick Cayley ain't.
You
no
say
Ben
put
Johnson.
It in CJ's hands. What do you want CJ to do with it?
I want CJ to roll out and run or throw. That's what I want
from
him to
the
do.
One.
Yes, because you can't run it. You can't run it, Lance. I think we've proven that.
I mean, I would rather see a direct snap power over the right, running back. If you have a quarterback in the game, what you're doing is you're taking a blocker away, right? He's a dead player. He's a dead player as it pertains to the run. So you've got 11 defenders on 10 right off the bat. One of the reasons that direct snap to running back is successful is because your quarterback, and frankly, I take the quarterback off the field. If you're going to do something like that, you get a guy who can throw a little just in case you want to have a counter, and then you take that non-blocker off the field, and if you're going to run it, take the guy who takes a snap off the field. He's a non-blocker. Well, he is a dead player. So
yes, but if you have a quarterback on the field, you have a run pass option.
I know, but if you're going to be this predictable,
you can fake the run, you can roll out, and now the defense can't just sell out.
But if you want to be physical, do something like that. Bring in. Listen, I'm giving you. I'm giving you something that's outside of the box of what you're thinking, John. Yeah. If you're doing it, look, they have had. You're acting like CJ hasn't been in. They've had him in. It doesn't work. He doesn't do well. They don't do well.
They got CJ in and they run it right up the middle.
They'll hold or they'll false start. It doesn't matter.
No, you got CJ in there and you don't use him properly.
He stinks too around the goal line. Go look at his red zone stuff. It sucks. For the last 2 years, CJ's red zone passing, his rating and his success rate has been
because
miserable.
You don't put him in the position. You're throwing fades, or you're not putting him in position
really
to use his athleticism and his arm to make plays.
He's not that athletic. He's out on a concussion anyway.
Was it the Bucs
I don't want
game
him running.
Where he missed a couple throws on the red zone?
Yes.
Is that what I remember?
Yeah, he rushed that one, that little out and circle route that I saw somebody else hit perfect. I think it was Washington ran the perfect route. I saw the exact route, but they didn't rush it like Nico did. But he also, he just rushed the throw. It's hard to throw inside of 11, 15 yards because you it's so compact. So you got to have some misdirection. You got to create opportunities.
Yeah,
and that's not what Cayley does.
No,
Cayley doesn't have that
that's
in
exactly
his bag,
what
John.
You got to do. You got to fake that you're.
Well, who do you want next year?
So for some reason, other teams are able to just.
Well, who do you want?
Able to
yes,
score.
Yes, they are. Who do you want next year?
What do you mean, who do I want
next as a play caller? It's not this guy. So you're wanting for something that doesn't exist. You wish and hope for something. It doesn't exist with Nick Cayley. So who do you want next year who can call those plays? What tree do you want to go off of this time? Because
okay.
It isn't this guy. It's not this guy.
I want you to ask D'Amico that. Who's going to be your play caller next year?
I know. I'm surprised Kunkel hadn't asked him yet.
I know. Kunkel, ask him. Go ahead. Who's going to be your play caller next
year? Have you thought about who you're going to interview for coordinators next year?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
We're going to keep those conversations internal. I knew it. I knew you were looking at this.
Okay.
Look, what I'm telling you is if they want to be, D'Amico wants to be physical. One of the best ways to be physical is put a lead blocker in who is a defense, put Sheldon Rankins in as a lead blocker, direct snap to Woody Marks or Nick Chubb or whoever, or Damian Pierce. And then Pierce runs hard. He doesn't have the best vision, though. You direct snap, and then you get a defensive tackle leading as a fullback, and you run over the right tackle. It would help if you had a legitimate tight end to block, and you don't. So if Titus Howard were back, this is one of the ways you could be physical but change things up a little bit. That's just one example of something that you could do that I've seen other teams do that has worked. That's one example of a play that you could run.
We're
that would give you a chance.
We're going to keep on running.
Just
right
British
up
Brooks
the
is our short.
And we're just going to keep on doing it. Yeah, do it, because we're a physical football team.
British Brooks
and we're
is
going
your short
to just
back.
British Brooks is going to get that 1 yard.
You're just making yourself too upset over this. This is it's
I want to.
It's what's done is done. It's done, and there's nothing we could do about it. Remember when Tommy got whacked in Goodfellas, and they had to tell Robert De Niro, listen, he's gone.
What did Robert De Niro do?
He smashed a telephone and was smashing
it. And he smashed it and smashed it.
I already smashed my telephones the last couple weeks. Yeah. My telephones are all smashed up now. Now I know that, Nick Cayley's not a made man, and I know that, he's gone, and there's nothing we could do about it.
So
I don't think he'll be here next year. I'll be honest with you.
No.
I really don't. I think he'll be gone after one, and it's going to be embarrassing for the Texans. But what's more embarrassing is taking a roster that they have and doing this with it.
No. Let's hear what their DNA is, okay? So it's just not. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants this to be their DNA, but it's not. It's not what it is. Let's hear Nick Caley.
Yeah, what I would say is, a physical outfit that wants to run the ball downhill.
No, you're not.
Okay, starting with that with change-ups, okay? We did not run the ball well enough, okay? I would say that starting off. And then we've shown the ability to drive the football, okay? We haven't been able to finish well enough, which has been disappointing. So we've got to do a better job of that again, starting with me, standing here, okay? And we own that.
And every no, it starts with me. It's on me.
Gary, well, it back. Is.
This is on me.
This is on him.
I know it is, but there's just no accountability.
What do you want him to say? It's on him.
Okay, then you know what? Then Will Kunkel's question was right. Is Nick Caley going to call the plays this week? Because
yeah,
if you are going to be accountable, then you don't perform, you get taken out of the game.
Look, I don't know if that's fair. Bobby Sloak got fired after 2 years. You know, you want accountability. Bobby Sloak lasted 2 years. That's it. Most coordinators who've won divisions 2 years in a row, and one of them had an offensive rookie of the year, they get more than 2 years. And that guy was a friend of D'Amico's. That's pretty much accountability to me. This guy may get 1 year. That's impatience / accountability potentially. I don't know if I would accuse him of not. I think just because you're dumping him and going to a new play caller like Gerard Johnson, who's never done it, I don't know if that's accountability. And behind the scenes, I just know this from being in a coaching family. You never know what's going on behind the scenes. It could be real. Now, D'Amico, if this were Bill O'Brien, I know that Caley would have been MF'd up and down the field and outside the thing. It would have. And now, is that accountability? Well, it's uncomfortable. I'd say it's not a great building. But I think accountability is, we will find out what accountability looks like after the season. And frankly, D'Amico, if he's accountable, this is what you do. You go in and say, hey, Nick, we got to have better short yardage stuff. What you're dialing up isn't working. I didn't like that set of plays. Yeah, we want to run and be physical. That doesn't mean that you run the same play twice in a row that's not working. This is our success rate. We've got a 27% success rate. I'm making that up, by the way, but it's probably accurate. 27% success rate on got to have it's, which are third and two, fourth and inside of third and two, fourth and two. You know, you're going to have to find something different that you're doing. That's accountability too, though.
Yeah. No,
I don't know if that's happening. That may be happening.
You could say 0%. They're 0 for 10 on from the 2 yard line in. 0 for 10.
Is that a real stat?
That's a real stat. 0 for 10.
Yeah, that feels real.
Zero rushing touchdowns. Zero
Good
rushing
Lord.
Touchdowns.
And zero rushing touchdowns from two and in. And probably on three of those. And there's been at least two penalties that I can remember that back them up too. Because this is the kind of undisciplined offense this is, and they play over the last 2 years, they play losing football at critical moments. I mean, it's really nothing more than, you know, if you're not a good hitting team, but you hit with runners in scoring position, you can manufacture a lot of wins.
Yeah,
you don't have to have 14 hits a game.
No.
We saw with the Astros early in the year. Yeah. It's the same thing with offense. Like, you don't have to be the most prolific offense, but if you turn threes into sevens, you can win a lot of games.
Listen, that's the best teams are the ones that hit with runners in scoring position.
Exactly.
And you don't have to have you don't have to have great on-base percentage. You have to have clutch, and that's what you have to have. And the Texans don't have that. They don't have that. So that's what they got to have. They don't make plays in critical situations, in short yard situations. They just don't.
Red zone receiving stats, but if you look at team rankings, NFL red zone scoring percentage, touchdowns only for this year. The best team, now, this shouldn't really surprise you. The best team is Philadelphia, because what are you going to do? Stop them when they start doing their tush push? You're not going to. They're at 85% this year. Houston is, I'm at 20, still going, 22, 23. I'm at 26. I'm scrolling slow. Oh, my God. They're last place. 36%, literally last place. Last year under Slowick, they were 48%. But, you know, it's not like that was great. Last year at 48%, the Houston Texans were, they were what? 32, 31, 30, 29, 28th. So they were 28th in the league last year. They're last in the league this year. I mean, come on, dude. This is and we're the bad guys for asking about this. We're the negative.
Yeah,
oh, Mike,
you're
a dark cloud. Now, D'Amico doesn't treat us like Bill O'Brien, but I'm just it's the idea that somehow that we're coming in with negativity or whatever it is. I mean, this is horse crap. This is
what's up, Trevor?
This is 18% over the last three games, Sean. 18% over the last three games at home. 25% for the Houston Texans. I mean, my gosh, I'd love to be a Trevor, but the fact is, you're not allowing us to be a Trevor. We're having to be Mike's.
What's up, Trevor?
When you want to be, you want to.
In a world full of Mike's,
you want to
listen. In a world full of crap, we got to be a Mike sometime. Yeah. And Mike was nice. Yeah. Mike was nice. Coach, do you have a message to give your fans after you lost to Notre Dame and you're 1-8?
You dark cloud. It's what you are. That's what you are, Mike.
You know, you always come in here once a month. I see you. You're always down. You're always down,
well,
Kunkel.
1-8. You should. Why aren't you happy, Mike?
You're always down, Kunkel.
Eight.
You're always
We're all
asking
happy
me who
here
the,
at 1-8.
Who the new play caller is going to be, Kunkel?
Mm. All right, let's break.
Last in the league, man. That is impressive. And next to them is like they're 5 points ahead of the next worst team, which is Tennessee. I mean, if you look at this, it's a direct correlation of except Tampa. Tampa, who's tied for 26th at 50%. Now that's gonna even out, but Washington 77%, that doesn't seem to mean anything. But the other teams, Kansas City, Indy, Seattle, Philadelphia, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Buffalo. You know,
what is the it's what short yardage success rate?
Red zone. Touchdowns only. Scoring touchdowns when you get in a red zone, which is 20 and in. And you know, Cincinnati's ninth. You know, you could see that, but their defense is terrible, so they don't have a chance.
Yeah,
Denver's 10th, and we just talked about Denver doesn't look all that impressive, but most of these teams are going to be playoff teams who are in that. And that's just the whole point. I know that we're not saying anything revolutionary, but that's the whole point. The Texans don't even have to have a great offense. As long as they
– Not fight. Last.
Yeah, it can't be last and have any shot.
Somebody has to be last, though, Lance.
Okay. I mean, somehow they were 26th last year, 28th last year, and they won the division. I don't even know how that happened.
All right, 713-780-3776. We got a lot to talk about, man. Marshawn Nealon, Antonio Brown. We got Olivier Rio. If you don't know who that is, we will tell you who that is.
What is, does she have an Instagram account?
No,
that's Olivier. A man.
It's a man.
Oh.
It's a man, a very tall man.
Olivia actually. Rio?
Olivier.
She's got an OnlyFans.
Olivier.
No.
Not an OnlyFans. This you don't want, no. What we do want is Coors Light. What we want is cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. What we want is to be, well, we got a weekend of football coming up. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to have some Coors Lights. You watch the game. You know, maybe you stay home and you have some Coors Lights, or you go with your boys, you watch to a sports bar, and you have some Coors Lights, or you just hang out and you don't watch games, you watch games, whatever you're doing. All right, that's the way I approach it. That's the way I'm going to approach it this weekend. I can't wait. If you're looking for the best way to enjoy your weekend, I think it's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I think if I'm going to drink beer, I want to be refreshed. I don't want motor oil like that. Some of these beers that take you got pour and then you got to sit and stir it, whatever. Get out of here. What I want is give me that cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Make sure that mountains are blue. Let's go, everybody. You're going to be refreshed this weekend. There's one way to do it. Keep chill with Coors Light.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We asked for callers. We got them. Before we do, one thing. The Astros made a qualifying offer to Framber Valdez, $22 million. A qualifying offer means if he refuses, it goes to free agency. The Astros get draft pick compensation. That's good. They're not going to. Do you see them making a $100 million offer to Framber? I don't.
No, I saw the market. The market's expected to be about 167 for them total. ESPN had that, or they had a market for all the free agents
through 21 starts.
Number one, by the way, was Kyle Tucker, I think, was one, and Fromber was two.
And I saw one guy had Kyle Tucker's best fit, the Astros. Get out of here. He ain't coming back to the Astros. There is no way Jim's paying him that. Through 21 starts, Fromber was 11-4 with a 2.62. 141 strikeouts in 134 innings. He went 2-7 with a 6.05 in his final 10 starts. At 46 strikeouts and 58 innings. I mean, something happened to Fromber. He was bad down the stretch. Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And his attitude, throwing the pitch at Salazar, hitting him in the chest, crossing him up. Not only that, but criticizing the defense. And, I mean, something happened where he was so disenchanted with this organization. The best thing is, although you want the good Fromber back, hopefully the good Fromber returns.
Yeah, I'd want the good Fromber back, but they're not going to, I mean, I don't think they're going to. So the market, they had the market at $28 million is what they had. I think six at 28 is what they the projected contract's going to be. That's not crazy. The difference is he's going to be 32, this year.
He's 32 now.
He's 32 this year, okay. Huh. So what you're doing now, he is an innings horse. I just think that what we saw at the end of the year, personality-wise, you know, you can have your ups and downs pitching-wise. Fromber typically doesn't, which is what made it so unusual. But the personality stuff, that really, you know, I wonder if some of his performance was just because he was just, you know, he wouldn't be the first guy who kind of tanked, maybe not intentionally. We're watching John Morant do it now. We saw Randy Johnson do it before he came to the Astros. Once they do that, to me, they're gone. Like, what are you going to do? You're not going to get that
back.
We're
basically going to trade Fromber for JV, Justin Verlander.
Yeah, probably. No. I can't believe
he's going to get that kind of money. But it looks like, you know, according to Chandler Rome, it looks like he's going to be back in an Astros uniform. So that, be ready for that. All right, let's get calls in here. Dale, who do we got? Who's up? Who's up first? Jim, what's going on, Jim?
Gentlemen, good morning. Why do you guys give D'Amico a pass? He's awful. He's a terrible coach.
A pass for what?
You guys never say anything bad about him because what? Because he's a black guy. So therefore,
that's
you guys
right.
Let him just roll.
We're not going to criticize.
He's terrible. He's the worst coach ever. I'm not joking.
At my African American over here.
It's another DEI hire, man.
Yeah.
And it's a third black guy that the Texans have hired. He's awful.
We got to get rid of the blacks. Yeah. I mean, if there's one.
No, my daughter.
Your daughter.
My two daughters.
Be better.
Coach better than him. Than that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, okay. Okay.
Jim, put the bottle down for a second.
Jim is just getting in.
Jim
is just getting in.
Jim.
Well, I do think you need to answer some of the questions he
posed.
All right,
let's cover. Listen.
Are you guys
I am not going to criticize a black coach.
Are you guys
That's the rule that we have. Kelvin Sampson is the best. D'Amico second. Ime second best. D'Amico third best. Lovey Smith fourth best. Yep. David Culley fifth best. And Bo Porter sixth best.
Wait a minute, Espada. We gotta
trash.
Wait a minute. No,
we can trash Hispanic coaches.
Are you guys not giving your actual opinions on D'Amico? Because
this is the thing. As Israel and Gary will tell you, we're super critical of black quarterbacks, but black coaches are untouchable for us. So you have to understand the rules here. And Jim, unfortunately, Jim figured it out. He figured out our thing that we have that John and I. We had a meeting back a couple years ago and said, listen, we got to start being super hyper-positive about black coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, I don't know if you listen to all the show, but we've been pretty critical of D'Amico Ryans just the last 2 weeks alone. I'm not looking to get – look,
his daughters could coach better.
We're not super fans who just say, this is trash, you're trash, he's trash, fire everybody. What difference does that make? We're not superstitious – wait – why are you playing Stevie here?
Don't you guys, anytime you get close to criticizing D'Amico, you just listen to the best of Motown and remind yourself
that
not
is,
to do it.
That is true. Some old Jackson 5 stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Jackson 5, Stevie, some Marvin Gaye was Motown, if I remember correctly.
It's like conditioning. You're like, you know,
the Shirelles.
You think to yourself, you know, I would like to give my actual opinion, but then you realize.
I'll reiterate for you.
Motown?
I'll reiterate for you. D'Amico, as we said on Monday, it was literally abhorrent. The time management at the end of the game, D'Amico single-handedly gave his team no chance to win at the end of that game by burning off 14 seconds. Now, we're saying D'Amico because D'Amico has the ability to project to his offense coordinator how he wants to handle that. We said that on Monday already. We said D'Amico doesn't handle clock management, and his teams are the most undisciplined teams we've seen over the last 2 years. I do like him. I like D'Amico. I like his personality. It's a lot better than that white guy, Bill O'Brien. The whites have been a problem here. Let's just take a look at the whites.
Dom Capers, problem.
Well, Dom was a really nice guy. Wait, Dom was a really nice guy, too, actually.
Well, but...
I like Dom. Well, okay, yeah, he didn't win enough.
You had to go. He had to go. Gary Kubiak?
Black coaches are winning division titles.
They went from playoffs to two wins.
Lovey helped to elevate you by having that win over the Colts that got you away from Bryce Young and into C.J. Stroud, which has led to two straight division titles, Jim.
Jim would appreciate his Houston Texans football more if they went away from a black head coach?
A DEI hire?
Yeah,
by the way, I like when people, if you're black at all, you had no reason to have this job at all. You mean they hired a black coach? DEI, really? The guy who was a Pro Bowl linebacker and who's been was coordinating one of the top defenses in football in San Francisco? Okay.
Well, after the Brian Flores fiasco.
Let me tell you who a DEI hire would have been. The one they wanted to hire, Josh McCown. Yeah. The McCown brothers. That's a DEI hire. That guy had absolutely no experience as a coach, and they were going to hire him. What are you talking about, Jim? The white guy had no experience. Doesn't matter, John. They were set to do it. The only reason they hired Lovey, and this is on all my kids. I'll put this on all my kids and my dog Splits. The only reason they hired Lovey Smith is because they freaked out because of Brian Flores' lawsuit. Josh McCown was going to be, and ownership was on board with him being the next head coach, and he had no experience coaching. At all. And you're calling D'Amico a DEI hire? Get the fuck out of here, dumb, stupid ass. No. I'm tired of stupid people like that. I mean, you know what? You want to say he's a bad coach? I don't care. Calling him a DEI hire, you're an embarrassment, Jim. You're an embarrassment. Yeah, he is.
His daughters.
I don't care. His daughters are good play callers, but he's a freaking embarrassment.
What if his daughters are great play callers?
They're probably better than Kaylee. I'm not arguing that point. His daughters can probably dial up something better than Kaylee. I'm not arguing that point. DEI offensive coordinator. What's the last black offensive coordinator we had? Go ahead.
Hamilton?
There you go.
The
one and only in the organization's 25-year history. We're pretty good with hiring black quarterbacks, black head coaches lately, though.
It's true.
I just want winning coaches. I don't care. I want winning coaches. This is super embarrassing. Like, honestly, like, John, for real, that's super. Let me tell you something. D'Amico Ryans that's embarrassing to D'Amico that you call him that. That's absolutely. And I know we're not taking you serious because you were drunk. So you're a drunk guy calling at 7 in the morning. But the reality is you actually said that about a guy who's who puts in 70 hours a week at his job. I mean, get out of here. Go pound it. Go pound your drinks again.
That's not so much.
And go call other shows, loser.
The dude is a good coach. He is a really good coach.
I think he's
having a great year.
I don't know if he. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if he's a really good head coach.
Well, I do.
A
really good head coach.
His clock management hasn't been great.
He's having an off year. Yeah, he's having an off year.
I'm still trying to figure
out. Really, really good the first 2 years.
I think he's really good at changing culture. I think his in-game stuff has been on the lower side. I think his building a team. Well, I don't know. When have you seen him out-coach people and his clock management and all that stuff? You've seen that?
Well, I mean, the clock management is a lot of the equipment.
That's a lot of a lot of head coach,
well,
too,
gotta,
calling
yeah,
timeouts.
He's got to call timeouts. Yes, absolutely.
But I think
they got somebody upstairs
rebuilding
that be
culture and all that.
About that.
Rebuilding culture and all that is part of it, too. And D'Amico Ryans has done a great job with that. The in-game stuff, to me, leaves a lot to be desired. But we've talked about this. We've talked about it. I shouldn't let some drunk guy get me this upset. But that actually does really bother me that you take a guy who works his ass off and you throw a DEI tag on him. That is just the dumbest, loserous stuff I've ever heard. Coaches put hard work into this stuff.
Take something with just a grain of salt. The dude was drunk. Okay, the guy is drunk.
You can't get mad at Jim. About it. This is one of his favorite quotes of all time.
That's how a white man runs a football.
Do you know where that's from?
No. Yeah, Camp Scataboo after a run?
No, it's from the remake of The Longest Yard, Stone Cold.
Are you sure that wasn't Camp Scataboo talking to a linebacker?
No. That's how a white man runs a football.
It was Stone Cold Steve Austin playing running back, and he's talking to Nelly.
What the hell is Nelly doing? Oh, yeah, it's a prison. I was like, Nelly playing defense? I guess he could play.
He was on the a sideline. That's how good Stone Cold felt about himself. He talked to a guy.
Stone Cold was running the ball?
He was a prison guard playing running back.
All right, we're off to a great start. We're off to a great start this morning. If you guys want to call in and agree with Jim,
that's not a great way to get
Jim,
people to call in.
You're more than welcome.
If you'd like to call in and spread racial discord, call in. If you're looking to cause racial problems and denigrate the head coach of the Texans for being black, this is your phone number.
Hey, Sam, don't pull this segment, by the way.
Sam,
don't pull this.
Listen, we know sometimes don't throw this on social media, Sam.
All right, we got to break.
Be a little bit more aware.
We got to talk about the Chastangs. The Chastangs, that ain't no. Listen, they've been doing it for 80-plus years in this city, okay? The Chastangs know cars. The Chastangs know how to get you into that vehicle. The Chastangs do it better than everybody else in this city and have been doing it that way. The Chastangs are number one in commercial Ford sales. There's a reason for that. Listen, when you're a business, you want to trust that the dealer is going to get you the best deal that he possibly can. You want to customize it exactly how you need it for your business, okay? Every business is different, and you got to have certain things for your truck, whatever kind of truck it is, or SUV, whatever the case may be. And you want the best price you can get. You want the best service you can get as well. How about the Chastang Ford for those businesses out there? You don't have to tow your cars in. They'll go to you and fix your vehicles on site. So if you're you got a fleet of vehicles and you need them fixed, Chastang Ford will come to you. They've got the mobile fixing unit, whatever it's called. I do know this. They get that same kind of quality effort in the retail side as well. So if you're looking for a vehicle, it's going to be great price. It's going to be customized the way you want it, and you're going to get great service every time at ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What a great start to the show. Man, when drunk guys call in at 7 in the morning.
It's the first drunk guy that we had another guy named Jim. You probably forgot his name was Jim. Remember the one who would call in and he had been playing like he was in a band?
Yeah.
He would play and then he came, guys, I got a new song. You want to hear? Mm. Yeah. We got Kitty Smith. Yeah, we got it. Clyde the Glide. And you remember that he would sing? He would just bust into the most drunk songs ever.
That was awesome. That's what I love.
Yeah,
I love
we've had
can't drunk be drunk guys all day, Jim. Unless
some people
you start
think
in the morning
he wasn't drunk
with some racial takes. That's awesome. That is just good stuff, Jim.
You you never criticize the blacks. Okay, that's not what Israel and Gary say, but that's fine.
Yeah. All right, let's get Chris in here. He's been waiting. Chris, sorry you had to wait through that.
No, that was actually pretty entertaining. He's either drunk or he's John on the third day of Lent. So he's like angry. So You know, quick question, and I'm joking, John. I love you when you're a little worked up. But I did have a serious question. As we see what's going on in Denver, and we're talking about our coaching here, it makes me wonder, like, I remember back when the Denver and Sean Payton stuff and having to give up a draft pick cap, and everybody was like, that's stupid, he's just a coach, or maybe a lot of people were. But it makes me wonder, like, man, maybe they're onto something. Maybe coaches do matter a little bit more than even me as a normal fan thinks. I know you guys probably realize that it does, but I'm sitting here watching. They don't have, you know, Tom Brady at quarterback. I can't name, you know, their mediocre, you know, B-plus receivers. They got a J.K. Dobbins, I think, at running back or something like that. It's not like they're great. And then here they are, what, 8-2? And so it makes me wonder, maybe somebody that can call the good plays. And I know Bo Nix did have a great game. They scored 10 points. I feel like our defense is better than theirs. But just kind of comparing some of these teams around the league that are doing okay this year makes you wonder, coaching maybe does matter a little bit more than the common fan may think. And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, the irony is that Sean Payton's an offensive coach. And, you know, they're playing defense the way that they are. And the offense isn't helping them all the time. And yet they're winning. Now, they did make a lot of plays in that great game that they played where they came from behind and won in the final seconds. Coaching makes a difference? Yes. Yes, coaching makes a difference. I thought when they hired Sean Payton, it was a great – he's a winner. Sean Payton is a winner. Now, he had to find the right guy. I don't know that Bo Nix is the right guy. We'll see. Bo Nix didn't play. He played like crap yesterday. He was awful. Bo Nix was awful yesterday, and yet they won the football game. And the Texans don't win close games. There is something to that, that you got to make the smart, good plays down the stretch to win football games. And the Texans don't do it.
Nope. That's all you got to do. You just got to make winning plays. They don't make winning plays. And, you know, not to get back on it, but ultimately that is going to fall on, at some point, the head coach, and then it goes to GM. At first, it goes to head coach, and then it goes to, well, you drafted these guys. That's what it turns into the next thing. But you got to – I mean, the head coach is kind of – and DeMeco knows that. He knows that he's responsible for penalties. Head coach always – if your team is heavily penalized, that's a head coach. Those are – like it or not, those are head coaching statistics, heavily penalized teams. And they're not the most – and they're not a super disciplined team. But you know what they do? They play really hard. Like – getting the culture of the swarm, which we kind of joke about the swarm thing, but what he wants is just all players at all times rushing to the ball with great urgency. And they do that. I mean, they really do that. The problem is right now you have, like, you couldn't have, your two sides of the field couldn't be more different, two sides of the ball. You got this swarm, urgent, physical mentality on one side. And you got a sack of wet, you got a sack of dirty milk on the other side.
Sack of dirty milk.
I don't know what that means. You know what? Somebody, I heard.
I don't even know what that, you know what? I'm going to go Casario on you. I don't even know what that means.
No, that's Billy.
No, well, Casario says it all the time, too. I don't even know what it means to draft the best player available. I don't even know what that means.
What is best player available? What does that mean?
Well,
it means you're drafting the best player.
No, draft for need. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was.
I don't know what that means. Listen.
So last year I was asking about, I was like, hey, I kind of like this guard from Wisconsin. And I texted that to a scout. He goes, he's a sack of milk. And I went, oh, my God. This is the greatest thing I said. I've never heard of this. A sack of milk. And he said he got it from another guy. It turns out sack of milk is something that is said. I guess they sell sacks of milk in Canada. This got me on a path where they actually sell a bag. No, he said a bag of milk. I think it's a bag of milk. Well, I'll just change it to sack. And that's what – it's just non – it's just – and I said dirty sack of milk because it's just – it's nebulous and it has no shape to it or form and it's no one wants it. It's gross. You wouldn't want that. If you didn't have to have it, you wouldn't want it. That's this offense.
That's this offense is a sack of milk.
Dirty
sack of milk.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. That blows.
Or you can say bag of milk, either way. He's a bag of milk. Does that sound like a compliment? If I told you an offensive lineman, and he happened to be a white guy from Wisconsin, so when they hit me with,
he's a white guy from Wisconsin.
I know. Well, yeah, I mean, I've never seen a black offensive lineman from Wisconsin, but you call somebody a bag of milk or a sack of milk, there's not a world where there's a compliment. Like, I can't even bring myself to think that's a compliment.
No. We got Jethro Was it Jethro?
Ooh.
Let's wait. No. Okay, let's get a Jethro in here. Hey, Jethro. Goes.
Hey, good American morning to you guys. I want to know why that we don't have Davis Mills up there against them blacks. What's going on over here? And why not? We don't have Reed Shepherd over here just starting this starting quarterback. What's going on over here? Come on.
Thanks for the call, Jethro. Did he say over here, or is that just Jethro's own thing? Davis Mills against the blacks.
Well, let's not ignore.
Against the blacks.
Let's not ignore his question. Answer it.
By the way, that is when Pat McAfee said that the guys at ESPN who had the problem with him behind the scenes were just a bunch of old whites. That really opened up a new world to me. You can call people the head coaches who are the blacks. You got the whites over here. It's like it's new comedy. It's a new comedy vessel just opened up.
He would call you one of the old whites.
He would call me one of the cool whites.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah,
he would.
You'd be the old white.
I'd be a cool white.
No, old white.
He's an okay white. And then
Jethro, we got what you wanted. Davis Mills against the blacks this week.
Bun B is listening. He's texting me, bag of milk, L. But it's true. Calling somebody a bag of milk is one of the greatest slanders I've ever heard without even trying hard.
And the Texans offense is a dirty sack of milk?
They're a dirty sack of milk.
They're a dirty sack of milk.
It's been a while since we got set off by a racial call. I mean, sometime Israel or Gary will do it. You know, that's typically the gym call. We haven't had one of those for a long time.
No.
Calling D'Amico a DEI hire is that is right out of Twitter. That's out of the Twitter playbook. That's out of the culture war playbook. Well done, Jim. He's just practicing for a Twitter post later. That's all.
All right, why don't we break here, and if anybody else wants to get in with their racist rants.
And look, David said Jim doesn't listen well. The way you two denigrate Dell every day should be quite telling.
He doesn't have video. I was going to say, he doesn't stream it. Let me get in before anyone else does. Can't tell because of the voice. He's not sure what I am. I'll tell you, Jim. Olaleye, that's Nigerian. They denigrate me all the time.
What?
I want to tell you.
He got that job because he's a DEI producer.
No, I want to tell you.
A lot of guys don't want to be producers. Trust me, Jim.
Trust me. The abuse I take.
Please.
Let me tell you, you abuse us way more than we abuse you.
You're the abuser.
You play that a thousand times.
We're the victims here.
Let me tell you, Jim.
We are the victims.
These two.
He's victim blaming,
no
John.
Problem
again.
Jim, victim blaming
is what he does.
They have no problem denigrating a black.
He's victim blaming again.
They have no problem.
That's what he's doing.
Trust me, I can speak to it. Don't worry about it.
Jim doesn't count you.
Lance,
you're one of the good ones.
You need to speak to Underdog.
You might be one of the good ones.
Lance, over under on racial calls. Does Underdog have that?
They don't. We've already gone
lower.
We've gone higher. We say higher or lower, and we've already gone higher for a Friday. This season you can make team picks and player picks. All you have to do is just download the app, sign up, and you're going to get $100 in bonus entries. When you make your first $5 fantasy entry, using Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite team is whether they're a favorite or not, or pick your favorite player. If they're going to go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, on receiving yards, on interceptions, and much, much more. Plus, with Underdog's ultra-fast payouts, you're going to get your profits in a snap. And that's pretty important. So download the app today. Use promo code Lance, and you can score $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. That's player picks. That's team picks. All on Underdog. Use promo code Lance.
Crypto.com predictions powered by Underdog Predict. Trading derivatives involves risk and may not be appropriate for all. For more information, visit Nadex.com/rules and UnderdogFantasy.com/rules. For Crypto.com predictions, the term pick refers to a product traded on CDNA. Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_HTML for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So while you were sleeping, apparently they caught Antonio Brown. He was in, where was he? He was in Dubai. He was in Dubai. I don't know about hiding, if I'm Antonio Brown, hiding in Dubai. You know, I think he would stand out a little. I think, I'm not sure that would be a great place to hide. Because, hey, that looks like a football player right there. That looks like Antonio Brown. Anyway, he was caught. He was sent to New Jersey, I believe, and then he's going to be extradited to Florida, where he's facing charges of attempted murder. He shot, allegedly shot a gun at someone who he claims was trying to hurt him or kill him. So he claims that the story will be told. We shall see. But Antonio Brown, man, he just hasn't been the same since the Vontaze Burfict hit. He just hasn't been the same guy. He definitely is suffering from something. And then speaking of suffering, Marshawn Nealand yesterday apparently ended his own life after a police chase. He had a gunshot wound to the head that was self-inflicted, according to police. So that was, he just scored a touchdown the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his mom right before the draft, and we don't have any idea what was going on in his head, but he had told his girlfriend, he had somehow, I think he texted her and said
she knew he was suicidal. She said that when he was out on the loose, kind of. I didn't get all the details. I just read the police report. You know, it's sad. I don't know. We don't know the details. We don't know the details of when it happens. I know that there's, I want to say this very seriously. If you have some problems and you're a man, a lot of us don't talk to other people. It's just not how, it's just not how we came up for some of us. We don't have friends that we talk to like that. We just talk about other stuff. Man, you got to get some medicine, talk to a therapist. You got to do something, but you got to give it a chance. You got to give it a chance, because when those thoughts get in your head, man, it can be for people who have a chemical imbalance, or just when depression hits. I've been depressed before. It sucks. It's terrible. And I used medicine and got out of it. And I'm just telling you, it just makes me sad that there are people who are guys who, like, it just doesn't have to happen, unfortunately. And it does, because men just don't, we just don't take our mental health seriously. Or we do, but we just feel like there's nothing we can do about it. So you have a 24-year-old young man who ends his life. Kyron Lacy had something similar happen. He thought there was nothing else there. And unfortunately, it happens a lot of times to young people who they don't have a scope. They don't have an idea of the scope of the world and what's in front of them. They just think that their world is so small and everything that's happening now is just what the rest of their life is going to be like. And it's just, it's so sad that, had maybe if Marshawn had had some type of help, for what he was going through, maybe this wouldn't happen. Same thing with Kyron Lacy. Despite the stuff that happened with Kyron Lacy, it's still sad that he felt like that was, that was the only option. It's sad.
Yep.
I know we've all had people that we dealt with. Luckily, I haven't had direct contact with good friends happening to it, but, where they've taken their own lives. But,
I had an ex-wife.
Yeah, no, I know you did. Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but I know you did.
But she had such pain, physical pain that she didn't think she could go on. It wasn't mental, it was a physical.
For issue. Some people it's just medicine. You just get dialed into the right medicine, man, and and you're good. I mean, it's a little thing that and there's a stigma attached to it, and not as much. There's not as much of a stigma attached to it now as there used to be, but hopefully if there's just one person listening and you hear this, you go, maybe these guys are right. Let me just go to a doctor, see what they say. Hopefully it'll help you out, because it's helped me in the past. So, I don't want you to be stigmatized. You want to hit me up in my DMs, I'll talk to you about it if you want to. But I don't want this to happen to people. It's a sad, sad story.
Really is. 713-780-3776, the number. If you would like to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, you're more than welcome. Who's the – we got a caller on hold, Dell. John is on hold. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. Thanks. Man, I just want to see this team have some juice again. Like, D'Amico's late game antics, like utilizing timeouts, and then I think just the late game offense just is tough to see as a lifelong Texans fan. I mean, I know D'Amico is a defensive head coach, don't get me wrong, but I've had to believe, like, maybe it's time in San Francisco, like, he's seen some top-tier offenses. He can have some input to a rookie play caller like Kaylee. He gave us 2 cents in just to try to help us out. And then also, I'm trying to think. Sorry. I'm trying to hold you guys up. But also, man, I'd like maybe see D'Amico argue with the refs every once in a while. I've seen, like, I saw Sean Payton last week get heated at the refs for some bad flags or not calling flags. Like, I've seen some nasty hits to CJ below the knees, et cetera. Like, I would just like to see D'Amico not be so calm, cool, and collected on the sideline. Just, you know, just raise hell for the team every once in a while. Just give us some juice if possible. Anyway, thanks for your time, fellas.
I think if there's one thing that D'Amico does really well, it's motivate.
Yeah, but the yelling at the ref stuff that he wants. Remember, there was that one time where they weren't letting the Texans play fast. They were holding the ball up, and he got really pissed, and people were asking, were you yelling at Nick Kaylee there? Like, yeah, no, I wasn't yelling at Nick Kaylee. I was yelling because they didn't let us play fast.
Well, and I don't.
And he's not a yeller. And
you know, there was a hold on. They were turning the corner, and there was a hold on. I forget who it was, but he exploded at the referees. I don't think he's nearly as demonstrative with the referees as he needs to be. There are a lot of really poor, bad calls that don't. And he is. I know, you know, there's two different philosophies of dealing with referees. You know, berate them until they finally, you know, give in and give you some calls. Or be a really nice guy and hope that they do that. I think referees are, at times, walk all over the Texans, if you want to know the truth. And I think he needs to get on them a lot harder. He is, one thing about him, that I love about D'Amico Ryans is how he motivates these guys. They, like you said, they play hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
They play hard. They just don't play smart offensively for him. They make too many damn mistakes. And okay, so what does execute mean? And you know, because that's what Nick Kaylee says all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But
do your job.
But you know what they don't do? They don't execute. Here is Nick Kaylee explaining what execute means.
Execute means doing your job, okay, the way you're supposed to do it, with technique, with precision, and with great effort, and the way it's supposed to be done. And so penalties, poor technique, you know, mental errors fall into those things. That's what it means.
Is there, like, because it feels like, What if the process up to setting them up to execute is not in check? Because a lot of times it feels like it's almost like excluding the whole practice process to where they got to do what we say they got to do. And
yeah,
stuff.
No, I take accountability for, if that's what you're implying. I take accountability starting with me on this. It's the entire operation. So we've got to do a better job. We got to, you know, find better ways to ultimately get the ball across the goal line. Understand the intent of what you're asking, but you're asking me about execution physically. That's what it means. We also have to put ourselves in position to be able to find different ways to score. And so, you know, it hasn't been good enough. I definitely agree with that, no doubt about it. And you know, that's the quest, is to do that for sure.
Where is the accountability? Where is the accountability of false starts? Of miscommunication on the offensive line, letting the simple stunts beat you. Where is the accountability? Where does it land? And you know what? He's right. It lands on him. It lands on him ultimately.
Well, they fired a coordinator and a offensive line coach last year for some of the same issues.
You know what? It's not any better. It's not better right now.
Well, it's better. I mean, I think some of the stunt stuff has gotten a lot. The twists have gotten a lot better this year. I think where they get beat is the late add-on rusher is one of the things. And sometimes they just get beat one-on-one. It's not as much. I really don't see the mental errors as much as I see.
Well, they still got physical. I mean, early on in the season, they had a bunch of drives that were stalled by penalties.
No. I didn't say penalties.
Those count, too.
I said twist. No, right. Yeah, I'm right. Just talking specifically about some of the games up front. That's gotten better this year.
I will give you that. That has gotten better. Mm-hmm. But not the execution. It's not any better than it was last year. It's mm-hmm. not better. The execution is not better. And that has to fall on him. And that has to fall on Nick Haley. And ultimately it falls on D'Amico. And then ultimately it falls on Cesario. Because you don't have the right guys there. But you know, I love, oh yeah, I'm accountable. What? How are you accountable? What? What has changed? What is different? What is going to be different this week against the Jags with your accountability?
Well, what it's telling you is that he's telling you it's his. So when he's gone at the end of the year, just know that he understands that's his. It's his role.
No, okay.
I mean, you know, this is a really bad rhythm to get into, just changing play callers. But if you want accountability, and he's telling you that's on me. He's not throwing his players under the bus.
No, but they're not executing.
Right. And you know what? Some of them are going to get fired, and I think there's a chance that he loses his job. I really do. I wouldn't normally say that after a two-year run for Slowik. And maybe I'm overstating. Maybe I'm overstating the odds of him going. But I just think with Mike McDaniel having a background, having a relationship with D'Amico Ryans, I really, in knowing that he's really talented as a play caller, I really think Nick Haley could end up having a hard time losing his job if Mike McDaniel wants to be a play caller again and he doesn't want to just sit one out and go be on TV and do his weird Mike McDaniel stuff on TV while he soaks in Stephen Ross and Dell's money.
Wow.
It's not my money.
Where is your patio furniture right now? Where is it? Is it in the backyard and looking shabby?
I got some that needs, I'm going to have to call your
call
boys.
Robin.
Yep.
Call Robin. I mean, Rob,
of course we love Cougs, John, and LSU.
Yeah. Okay, listen. I don't know what kind of fan – I don't know what you're a fan of. Are you a fan of the Texans? Because if you are, they can make your chairs out there look like in those colors. And you're an Aggie fan. You're a Longhorn fan. You're a Coug fan. I'm a Coug. Yeah, she's a Coug. And you know what? And she will make your patio furniture for your in your team colors. It's easy. You want that burnt orange? You want that maroon? You want that red, white, and blue? Okay, you can get all that. You can get all that at Houston Powder Coaters. Houston Powder Coaters will make that furniture look great, and you're going to be a big hit. You want, you know, how about orange and blue? Okay, that's awesome. You're a big Astro fan? Okay, Robin can do that for you, and she does it all the time. Here's the deal. Do it before Christmas is coming. You're going to have people over. You want to make sure that your stuff looks great. Do it now, and it'll be back by Christmas. But you got to do it now. Takes a little bit of time, free pickup and delivery. You want your stuff to look great. If you've got metal that needs some kind of powder coating, you got it. One place, HoustonPowderCoaters.com, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.